Tune into the Superhuman Channel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and listen to classic episodes of Superhuman Radio. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Listen Now button.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, it's Monday, the beginning of a new week for the Superhuman Nation. We're going to start the week off with a very, very important show. This is a special episode. The entire 2 hours will be dedicated to one subject and one subject only. We're going to explore alcohol consumption. Is it good? Is it bad? Does it help? Does it not help? During the first hour, we're going to have Pam Colleen on, author of the seminal work, Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. And we're going to talk about some of the cultural effects of alcohol and the trending of alcohol and lots of great information about alcohol use and abuse. Later in the show, the brilliant Adele Musa will be on to talk about the science, the emerging science. And you know Adele, he has no dog in this fight. He looks at all the science, he overlays it, and he says, look, this is what the facts are. And so we're going to get to the bottom of this. And at the end of the show, my opinion may be changed. But many of you know that I'm doing this show because I've openly admitted that my alcohol consumption in the past several years, actually right after my divorce, increased. From drinking on the weekends to drinking during the week to having, quite a few glasses of wine every evening. And my health has changed. And the only thing I can point to is the alcohol, but maybe I'm wrong. I'm going to find out today. But here's my opinion. My opinion is this. We use alcohol because of its drug-like effects. And as a result of that, we need to try to find reasons that it's good for us too, because no one wants to know they're doing something bad to themselves. But what we're hoping to achieve today is informed consent. Those of you who drink, including myself, we will drink for the rest of our lives, but know whether or not it's helping or hurting. Now, as a civilization, we have been consuming alcohol since the year 10,000 BC, the first fermented beverages that produced alcohol can be traced back to then. But just 2,000 to 3,000 years ago, we really turned up the heat on alcohol. So to get into this discussion, let's invite Pam Colleen. How you doing, Pam?
I'm great, Carl. How are you today?
Good, good. Now, Pam, you have worked with a lot of people over the years to help them achieve optimal health and also help them reverse disease. What are you seeing in the way of alcohol? And you know, is this notion that a little bit is better for you than none at all? Do you buy into that at all?
Oh, I think that if people never consume alcohol their entire lives, I think they're going to be far better off for it. But I do not take a puritanical approach. I think if people want to go out and have a beer with their friends or have a glass of wine with dinner every so often, I think that's fine. I just don't think it's a habit you want to get into on a daily basis. Unfortunately, when I do work with people who abuse alcohol, and I see different forms of or different degrees of alcoholism when I work with people who are abusing this substance. So even when I'm working with, say, academic alcoholics, and apparently that's a term that's used in Germany, I just learned that term recently. These are people who, have a drink before dinner, have a drink with dinner, and a drink after dinner, maybe even a drink before bed. That's a lot of alcohol in one given day. But they're not smashing drunk, and they're not slurring their speeches. They're still able to function and look quite normal. But they're called academic alcoholics, and I don't think that's healthy. I think that's way too much alcohol, but there's a lot of people out there doing that, and they get lost under the radar because they're not out, creating bar brawl fights or anything like that. And they certainly usually don't get out and drive, at least I hope not. So they're not getting found out. They're not being talked about. But I see this as being something very common as well. So I see different degrees of alcoholism, if you will. I have clients that I work with, for example, that when I start working with them, they have to have a drink at dinner. They have to have a drink before bed. But I have to tell you, Carl, that when the biochemistry gets stronger, when I work with them, get their nutrition up and so on, they eventually don't even want that one or two glasses at night. The taste of the alcohol actually turns them off. So they get really grumpy with me when they're on my program because they no longer want the alcohol. When it's a very advanced case of alcoholism, that's obviously more of a challenge. And there's different types of alcoholism.
Let's talk about something. Most of the literature out there points to moderate amounts of alcohol as being beneficial. And we're going to talk about whether or not the literature is skewed. But with that being said, what is considered moderate amounts of alcohol in your opinion?
Well, according to the USDA, for example, it would be a glass of alcohol, one glass per day for a woman.
So one glass being four ounces or 3 ounces or what?
Right. It would be 12 ounces of beer per day, 5 ounces of wine, or 1.5 ounces of distilled spirits. So it's a glass, a drink per day for a woman and 2 drinks per day for men. But that's every single day. And I think to myself, well, I guess, you know, a drink a day doesn't sound too bad. But everybody's going to have a different tolerance for alcohol as well. And you have to factor that in. And so women are more vulnerable to the effects of alcohol than men. And there's a couple of reasons for that. And one is because of hormonal issues. Another reason is because men tend to have more fluid, more water in their body than women do. So the alcohol can get more diluted, apparently, with men than with women. So women are much more vulnerable to the effects of alcohol than men.
What about this notion that a lot of women turn to alcohol later on in life? Do you think that they're just self-medicating, or do we look at – I did this discussion with Dr. Jim Manganiello. We talked about the fact that when people reach a certain period of their lives where they feel like the kids are grown, life is good, they immediately start drinking more and more because that's one of the rewards of having a more unfettered life, if you will. And are they just self-medicating, or are we really rewarding ourselves?
Well, I think there's way more going on biochemically than that. I've just pulled out a statistic here for you that I thought you'd be interested in. It says that middle-aged women today are drinking more than ever before in the history of mankind. In fact, the research is showing in the last 17 years, heavy drinking among middle-aged or older women has more than tripled. And that's obviously quite shocking. But one of the things that's happening at this time in a woman's life is, yes, of course there's going to be issues in and around, maybe perhaps empty nester symptoms, you know, missing the kids, all that kind of stuff. I'm sure those are all variables. But during this hormonal shift that's going on with women, they're going to experience more moodiness, more trouble sleeping, hot flashes, and so on. And unfortunately, when these mood shifts start to happen, women may gravitate to alcohol in order to, yes, like you're saying, Carl, medicate themselves. But the alcohol, of course, is not going to help the problem. It's only going to make matters worse.
You know what's really funny? And I've openly admitted to the audience that my sister was suffering from Parkinson's disease not too long ago. And I went with her to Barrows in Phoenix, Arizona, which is a Parkinson's disease clinic. And the doctor there, because she was so nervous about being ill. I mean, she was projecting her life in her mind and thinking, my God, I'm going to get ill, sicker and sicker. I'm going to become immobilized. You know, she was so full of angst all the time with this disease, which anyone would be. And both the doctor at Barrows and the doctor at Cornell University in New York, Dr. Petito, I think his name was, recommended that she, look, just have a glass of wine at night with dinner and it'll take the edge off. And I remember thinking about that then, before I really started to contemplate alcohol and start looking at the research on alcohol. And I thought, that has to be one of the most reckless things to tell someone who's suffering from a neurological disease, to put something that converts to an aldehyde, which is a well-known neurodegenerator, in your body as a remedy to, like, I mean, you know, talk about like the quick fix. Well, oh, yeah, you'll get tired. You take the edge off. What about people who use alcohol to sleep? Does sleep actually get better with alcohol, worse with alcohol?
No. No, alcohol is a depressant, so it's going to make sleeping issues worse. It will help some people maybe fall asleep. It's not going to give them a good quality sleep, and they're going to have intermittent sleep usually. So no, using alcohol medically to help you go to sleep at night is a very, very bad idea. And then to recommend it for somebody with Parkinson's, I agree with you. That's just irresponsible. I mean, I work with a couple of I have a couple of clients who have Parkinson's disease, and you should see how poor they are at detoxifying things like heavy metals. And one of the things very few people understand about some of these beverages is that they can contain high levels of nickel.
Really?
And so you really, especially men, I mean, nickel loves to lodge in the prostate gland. So if you're a beer drinker, wine drinker in particular, when I test the hair analysis of people who drink a lot of beer and wine, I see a lot of nickel in them. And so, it's you know, to give somebody with Parkinson's disease advice like that, when it could create more of an accumulation of a heavy metal like nickel, that's just a really, really bad idea.
Okay, I want to take a commercial break. When we come back, there's so many things that I want to talk to you about. We're talking with Pam Colleen, the author of Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. We're talking about alcohol for the entire 2 hours. Later in the show, Adele Moussa will come on, and he will talk about the most current of research and apply the Subversity sniff test to it. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides. Southern Research Company.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocreme. Kinetocreme is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocreme.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetocreme on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocreme by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocreme. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Want hardcore legal gear? Check out MrSups.com. MrSups.com carries only the best pro hormones, raw powders, and post-cycle products around. MrSups.com. SupsDots.com can deliver the goods. And no one beats MrSups.com on hardcore, barely legal pro hormones. Because MrSups.com is the source. You get wholesale prices by cutting out the middleman. Don't waste your hard-earned money. Go to MrSups.com today and compare for yourself. You won't be disappointed. MrSups.com. That's MrSupps.com. Cutting-edge products at wholesale prices.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio, where the entire discussion today is about alcohol. Let's face it, we all like the way alcohol makes us feel. Gives you that little buzz, takes the edge off, makes you less self-conscious about yourself in public. But does it really add to the quality of health? Is it going to increase longevity? Is it going to reverse disease? Is your life with alcohol better than your life without alcohol? Those are the questions that we have to ask ourselves. And then you can still drink, but just know, like any other risky lifestyle, that you're engaging in risky lifestyle, that it's not somehow better for you, like taking vitamins or exercise or periodic, you know, doses of sun. Okay, so we're talking with Pam Colleen. Pam, the wine industry has spent a lot of money over the past 30 years, specifically, to change, to actually distance themselves from the overall alcohol industry. Is wine any different? Whenever you talk about alcohol, those who embrace wine go, well, wait a minute. Wine is different. Wine is healthy. Wine is good for you. Wine actually can make you healthier. What do you think about that?
I disagree. I mean, alcohol is alcohol. I mean, essentially, it's embalming fluid, you know. So when you're drinking alcohol, you have to be very sensitive to how toxic this stuff is. It's very toxic stuff. I mean, the breakdown product of alcohol, no matter where it comes from, whether it's wine or beer or spirits, I mean, the breakdown product of alcohol is acetaldehyde, and that's one of the most potent toxins that you could have in your body. So it's not going to be any different. You know, the alcohol in wine is the alcohol that you're going to find in other substances as well. I don't care if it's purple and it has more antioxidants in it. You still need to use it responsibly.
You know, it's funny because I've said this about Dr. Oz. One time he told people to eat sugar beets because they're high in antioxidants, but they're also high in sugar. And it was the very first time I ever used this analogy. But this analogy, I believe, also applies to alcohol. I said once in response to his claim that eating sugar beets were good for you, I said, you know, there's probably some nutritional value in the undigested pin oats in horse manure, but that doesn't justify eating horse manure. You have to weigh the negatives against the positives. And when the negatives outweigh the positives, as they do, for instance, in pharmaceutical drugs, you have to say to yourself, gee, is this really something I want to do?
Mm-hmm. Well, and the trouble with people who do abuse alcohol, if you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. And so you have to be very sensitive to the cravings and the addiction quality of this substance. So, you know, when people have a weak biochemistry, they have to use something to get through the course of the day. It doesn't matter what the substance name is. If their biochemistry is weak, they need a substance just to give them the mood that will carry them throughout the day. And so the ultimate answer is to make sure people are in a good mood and that they feel joy and energy and focus, motivation, and so on naturally without having to turn to a substance like alcohol or any other drug for that matter. So that's the real solution. Because it'd be nice for us to, you know, stand on our soapbox and tell everybody to stop drinking. But unfortunately, if they have a very weak biochemistry, it's, you know, almost an impossibility. We saw what happened with Prohibition when you take alcohol away.
Oh, my God.
Right?
You know what? Anybody who's ever watched an episode of Boardwalk Empire, I mean, people were killing people over alcohol. It was like the cocaine trade back in the late 70s, early 80s. I mean, it was blood in the streets because of alcohol. You can't take alcohol. This is something that, as a civilization, we have had a romance with. We're not willing to part with it. In fact, we're so not willing to part with it that we will do anything to stay an arm's length from the truth. And I'm not suggesting that people not drink, Pam, because I know I'm going to drink wine again. I love wine. My grandfather gave me wine when I was 5 years old. I got indoctrinated at 5. He would make me a bowl of pastina with butter, and he gave me a little tiny glass of wine, and I would drink that at 5 years old. So I've had wine in my life my entire life, but I am not going to lie to myself and say, well, you know what? I'm going to live longer by drinking this wine.
Oh, no, yeah, you're right. I mean, people can go out and enjoy a drink with their friends, or, you know, and just don't cross the line from using the substance to abusing the substance.
So what is your opinion of using and abusing? Is it simply a four-ounce glass of this or 3 ounce, or is it really, is it unique to every person what abuse and what use is?
I think it's going to be unique to everybody's tolerance. We also have to keep in mind it's going to depend on their gut, for example. If they already have what's known as auto-brewery syndrome, in other words, they're already producing alcohol in their gut because their gut flora is so out of balance, right?
Really?
So they're already producing, a lot of people already have that problem before they even sit down to have their first glass of beer.
Really?
You've heard of auto-brewery syndrome,
no,
right?
Never. This is my first time hearing it.
Well, it's basically when people have such poor gut ecology that they're actually producing alcohol 24/7 in their gut anyway. And so they're already producing lots of acetaldehyde in their body. So they're already self-intoxicating, if you will. So you add extra alcohol to somebody who has auto-brewery syndrome, and, you know, they could be drunk on a half a glass of beer. You know, so it's everybody's tolerance is going to be different for a variety of different reasons, including how strong their gut ecology is.
How long does it take once a person decides they want to stop using alcohol for a while? They're not going to stop for the rest of their lives. No one's going to say, hey, you know, you can't drink for the rest of your lives. I went for an entire 10-year period without touching alcohol. And never said I was never going to drink again. I just wasn't drinking then because I wanted to live a high performance lifestyle, which I have to believe that if you're living a high performance lifestyle, there's no place for alcohol in it. But how long does it take when someone says, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. I want to see what I feel like without alcohol in my life. Is it just a couple days and you're done, or is it months and you're done? When does the alcohol truly, release you from its overall effects?
Well, it's hard to say. It's going to be, again, an individual by individual case. When people are abusing alcohol, there's about a 98% chance that they're hypoglycemic, right? That they just have been so addicted to carbohydrates their entire life, they've completely dysregulated their blood sugar metabolism, and so it makes them more susceptible to developing addiction, including alcoholism. So if you want to regulate your blood sugar, if you take that approach and you make a very conscious choice to eat three meals a day, including lots of animal fat in your diet, and keep your blood sugar stable, then that technically, depending on, again, how strong or weak your biochemistry was to begin with, that should help at least curb some of the cravings. So it's animal fat that really helps to stabilize that blood sugar. And if you stabilize the blood sugar, you can stabilize your mood, you can stabilize your cravings. But again, when I'm working with people who have been abusing substances like alcohol, for me to fully help restore their biochemistry, it can take 2 years. So one has to be extremely diligent to be able to do this properly.
And the liver plays an amazing role in this whole process. In fact, I can tell you that my liver is it my imagination? My liver has appears to have grown over the course of the past, since about the beginning of 2008, when I really started to reacquaint myself with alcohol. I notice a dramatic change when I pose and look at myself from the front, right below my chest bone, my breastplate, my stomach juts right out where my liver is, and it never did that before. Am I wrong? Did my liver grow, or is there something else that's going on?
Well, it probably did. If people are abusing alcohol, they are going to make themselves more prone to developing things like gallstones. And so gallstones, of course, when they get backed up through the bile duct system, can cause inflammation of things like the pancreas even. And, of course, everybody knows that alcohol can damage the liver. But we have to stretch it over to even the pancreas. And people who have been abusing alcohol tend to have pancreatitis. Now, the vast majority of people who have pancreatitis wouldn't even know that they have pancreatitis, because you can have pancreatitis or swelling of the pancreas and not even know it and not have any symptoms per se. You might see a bit of a swelling like you just mentioned, but you know, you're going to have digestive difficulties is the issue, because the pancreas is going to get sluggish, right? And as the pancreas gets sluggish, I mean, this pancreas is supposed to be putting out a digestive enzyme so that you can obviously assimilate your food. So if the digestive enzymes are compromised because the pancreas is compromised, then digestion breaks down, absorption breaks down, and so on. So you're going to have even more symptoms that are spin-off reactions to the alcohol. So it's a very, very damaging substance. Remember, it's like you're drinking embalming fluid, right?
Isn't it funny that watching Boardwalk Empire, that's what they used to use to create swill, which was bootleg booze. They would take good alcohol, good whiskey, good scotch, and they would add formaldehyde and then caramel coloring to it. And people would drink that and become so violently sick, but they'd get drunk from it as well. That's really interesting. I didn't realize, you know, that's obviously why they used formaldehyde to create swill.
I mean, this is very, very toxic stuff, and people have no clue. I mean, like I said, I mean, they're painting alcohol as almost like a medicine today. And it's really something that you need to use very judiciously. I would never tell anybody, you know, to not enjoy a glass of beer or wine from time to time. That's just unrealistic. But my goodness, when people think they need it on a day-to-day basis, then there's a problem.
Really?
Well, you know, when you look at the work of people like Dr. Weston A. Price, Sir Robert McHarrison, they made observations around primitive cultures when they were visiting these very primitive cultures, and these people were using substances. They noticed they were using alcohol. They were using other local, you know, plants that might have altered their state, their mental state. So they were experimenting and using these substances, but they didn't see these primitive cultures actually cross the line into abuse, which I always found very, very interesting. So that's why I say if your biochemistry is weak, you are going to be far more susceptible to wanting or needing to abuse a substance to get through the day.
Okay. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about some of the more bizarre stories of abuse out there as it relates to alcohol. This is not just about the elderly. You know, those of us who are older, remember when we were kids, I couldn't wait to get drunk the first time. I remember it was a bottle of Matus Rosé. I drank the entire bottle. We went to KFC. The smell of the chicken made me so nauseous that I vomited on the table as we sat there. Clumps of purple. It was not a pretty sight. All right, we're gonna come back. We're gonna talk about some of the types of abuse of alcohol that are going on in the United States and abroad. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else? I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest Protein Bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest Bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest Bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again. You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro Series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro Series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio, where the entire 2 hours is dedicated to alcohol consumption because it's that important. You know, I was sharing with Pam Colleen off the air that Alisa has gotten me into watching more real stories instead of fictional type shows on TV. We've watched The Tudors. I'm deeply engrossed in Boardwalk Empire. We're watching The Borgias. You know, one of the common things in all of these periods, different periods of time, different groups of people, is the excessive alcohol consumption. And these shows are shows because these are examples of people's lives who were lived at the extremes. They're not talking about King Henry because he was just the average guy. It was because he killed how many wives. He started his own religion so that he could get divorced. These were people who were extremists. The Boardwalk Empire series is, you know, Emmy nominated, blah, 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 because there was bloodbaths over alcohol just so that people could drink booze. It's clear that, the intoxicative effects of alcohol sing to us at the core of our being. We know that they've been around for thousands of years, but what is it that takes a person from enjoying the occasional drink to have a drink every single day to, in some cases, drinking all day long until their livers fail and they die? I mean, what is?
Well, I think part of it is the, and I think it was Jared Diamond who talks about this in one of his books, Through Evolution, in that there's a machismo type of effect going on. It's like sort of like I can outdo my friends, and I can, you know, in some cultures, for example, it's much macho to sit down and drink 8 ounces of kerosene in one fell swoop, and if you survive, that means you're stronger than the rest of your tribe, you know. And so it's that element, and I see this in some of these new dangerous and very risky behaviors in and among our children.
Let's
today,
talk about some of these, because some parents may not even know this exists. I was shocked when I heard this. I didn't know it existed.
It's absolutely shocking.
So young girls are dousing tampons in very, very strong, high-proof vodka and then inserting them where tampons belong so that, A, they absorb the alcohol faster, B, that it hits them harder, and C, there's no alcohol breath. They could be getting drunk during a biology class in high school.
That's right. Yeah, and so essentially, you know, that these young people today, both young men, young women, are using different parts of the body to insert or take in the alcohol. So they're doing it through tampons, and men are doing it through inserting it in their
anuses.
Private parts.
Yeah, they call it butt chugging.
Butt chugging, and there's another term they call it beer bonging or booty bonging as well. Not necessarily using the tampon, but using a beer bong to insert it again where the sun doesn't shine. You know, it puts a whole new meaning to the term bottoms up. And then, of course, there's vodka eyeballing, so that these young people are, you know, putting vodka directly into their eye socket to absorb the alcohol that way. So they're damaging their eyes, they're damaging their rectums and
vaginas and everything else.
Colons and their vaginas. They're snorting. They're actually snorting vodka through a straw or through a thin glass tube.
Well, Pam, do you remember about 5 years ago, a company in Las Vegas came out with an inhalable vodka product? And then and thank God, one of the things that the FDA didn't let them do was continue to sell it. But they actually got a primary approval to start marketing it. And they had these little bars set up, in like kiosks set up in different places. And you would put a mask on and you would inhale the alcohol and it would hit you immediately and you would become completely intoxicated. But it would only last like 20 minutes or 30 minutes. It was like crack is to cocaine. It was to alcohol.
I hadn't heard of that, but it's just, I mean, this is going from the sublime to the ridiculous, Carl. I mean, if you look at the history of drug use, I mean, we would have had a handful of drugs in the beginning of our, you know, this modern era that we're in, a relatively modern era, and then you see this, you know, a slew of drugs and drug ads and just the availability of drugs around us. I mean, thousands and thousands of choices that we can turn to alter our state of consciousness. It's a candy store out there for anybody with a weak biochemistry. They're just going to have a field day trying to modify their mental state. You know, there's 17,000 pharmaceutical drugs out there. Now we have, of course, a very inexpensive way to alter your mental state through alcohol. It's not an expensive way to alter your mental state. And of course, the street drugs are out there. It's just nonstop. And so now kids are getting drunk on hand sanitizers as well. That's another new trend.
Are they actually
drinking it?
Are they drinking it or inhaling it?
They're consuming the sanitizer. Apparently, it's 120 proof.
Yes, it's Everclear. It's Everclear. It's pure ethanol. Yeah.
And then you have young kids taking gummy bears, soaking them in vodka, and taking them to school and getting drunk at school by eating gummy bears. I mean, where is this going to stop? You know, and I think you can't. I, you know, when people are out there and they're experimenting, I mean, you know, in our wild and crazy youth, we drank a lot at university, high school, you know, but for most people, that period of time is temporary. They stop that ridiculous behavior at the age of, say, 23, 24 years old. But you're absolutely right, Carl. Some people, after that young, wild and crazy youth, you know, after that, some people can't stop. And these are the people who have the very, very weak biochemistry, and they've done so much damage to their bodies that they can't get through the day without using drugs. I mean, and then we have to couple that notion of alcohol as well, because then you see reliance on other medications, other drugs as well, when people have a dependency on things like alcohol. So they're going to be more prone, more likely to be smokers, right? And you also see the correlation with relying on caffeine as well. So
what about actual diseases? We have a lot of women. You said a moment ago that the drinking amongst middle-aged and up older women is three times higher than it's been before. We also see a higher rate of cancer. Is there any linkage you think between, and I know there's science out there, but in your opinion, with the people that you've worked with, any linkage between the women who are drinking a lot and the development of cancers?
Yes, there's an increased risk. You're increasing your risk if you're abusing alcohol of developing cancer. You talked about watching TV earlier, and I a few years ago I watched, I think it was the Jeffrey Rush was in the movie, and it was The Life and Times of Peter Sellers, the famous comedian. And every scene in that movie, he was snorting cocaine, drinking alcohol. I mean, he was using some sort of substance in every scene of that movie. And then I forget how he died, whether it was cancer or heart disease or something like that. But that's what the doctors would have said. Oh, he died from X, Y, or Z. I think it was heart disease. And nowhere did they mention, of course, that it was the drug abuse that and his risky behaviors in his entire life that would have contributed to that untimely death. So, you know, I think a lot of people out there say that, you know, they know somebody who died from cancer, but in my mind I say, oh, they probably died because they were abusing alcohol. But people don't think like that today. We ignore that issue because we turn a blind eye to addiction. Addiction is a dirty subject, right? It's attached to shame, it's attached to guilt, and because alcoholics, addicts in general, have really no tangible solutions in front of them to help them get well, unfortunately people just ignore the problem. And that's unfortunate. I mean, when I work with people who have mood and addiction issues, I do see that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You have to work with their biochemistry. That's what I do. And they can get well. But it's not a personality flaw. It's not any kind of moral defect that's going on with these people. They are just biochemically weak. And so to turn to substance like alcohol, which is extremely corrosive, I mean, it's very damaging to the cell. It's very damaging to the body. So, of course, you're going to increase your risk of all sorts of health problems, including cancer.
Yeah. And you know, and again, we are not telling people don't go out and drink. You're at your anniversary, you want to share a bottle of wine with your wife, you know, a birthday party, you have a promotion at work, you want to, you know, celebrate. These are times to absolutely to cut loose and ignore, the risks involved. But what I want people to think about from now on is your life going to be better? Are you going to be healthier? Will you live longer with alcohol in your life or out of your life? And I'm not saying that you should stop drinking, but I don't want people to lie to themselves anymore. Humans are very unique. We have the ability to stay an arm's length from the truth about all sorts of things and justify our behaviors, because we're the only animal on the planet that has the ability to apply rationale, you see? And that's what makes us different than the deer and the antelope. We can apply rationale. Well, you know what? I'm drinking, but it's good for me because I have such a tightly wound job that I relax when I drink. Well, guess what? You probably could relax by meditating, listening to some soft music, staring at the sky, making love to your wife, or a host of other things that don't carry any damaging effects. So don't lie to yourself. When you drink, say, this is no good for me, but I like the way it makes me feel. And admit it to yourself. And maybe once you start saying that to yourself, then you can start saying to yourself, you know, I think I'd like to try a period of my life without alcohol. I wonder how that would feel.
I wish it were that simple, Carl. I wish it were that simple for people. When people see, another thing that alcohol does is it increases estrogen in the body. When you increase estrogen in the body, of course, that's going to create a hormonal chaos as well. But when you increase estrogen, you're also going to drive up copper. And I see copper copper toxicity is in every single person I work with. And until you get rid of the copper out, people are going to be in a lousy mood. They're not going to have energy. They're going to have brain fog. They're going to have all sorts of...
My God, you talked about copper when we talked about the vegan diet. When people get on the vegan diet after a short period on, they have such high copper levels that they think they feel euphoric. They think, oh, this must be what it feels like to be healthy. But you said it's actually the fuzzy-brained effect of having too much copper in your body.
Right, and with alcohol, of course, driving up estrogen, it's only going to drive up the copper. So, and that's another effect, because as copper overaccumulates in the body, it just keeps assaulting the adrenal glands, you see, because the adrenal glands are supposed to be regulating your balance of minerals, and that includes kicking out excess metals like copper. And so as the adrenal glands get supercharged, overcharged by sending out this constant signal to kick out this extra copper, what are you going to do? You're going to gravitate to something that's going to somehow or another stimulate the adrenal glands so that it will temporarily kick out some of the copper, but at the same time you've weakened the adrenal glands, so you have to keep going back to the substance of abuse in order to synthetically stimulate the adrenal glands and keep wearing them down, like a bodybuilder would be wearing down his muscle, for example. Like,
right.
You can, as you know, you can rip and tear your muscles. Well, guess what? You can do the same thing. You can over abuse the adrenal glands.
Well, interestingly, those of us guys like myself who have been on hormone replacement therapy for a long time, and if you've experimented with super physiological levels of testosterone, like some of us have, that can actually cause the adrenals to atrophy. So drinking at the same time as using high doses of androgens may actually be the double whammy to your adrenal glands. We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to focus on detoxification for a second. So we've identified some of these pitfalls, but let's say somebody says, you know, I want to get alcohol out of my life for a little while, not forever, just for now. What can I do, Pam, to help speed up the process biologically to let my body recover? We're talking with Pam Colleen. She is the author of a fantastic book called Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. It's available at Amazon.com and wherever finer books are sold. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
defense.
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now, get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
You already know how great the Testa 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testa 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotriol to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Shortly, we will have Adele Musa joining in to weigh in on the science behind alcohol. Is it really healthy for you? You know, I got to be honest, Pam. I want to drink. I like to drink. I've had a love affair with altered states of mind since I was a teenager. I started smoking pot at 14 years old, exercised my use of barbiturates at around the same time, grew into heavier drugs after that. When I was in my 20s, I looked forward to getting drunk. In fact, I used to go out to get drunk. I'd go out dancing. In fact, when you talked about the machismo behind drinking, one of the things that I was so proud about was that one night I went dancing at a place called Rumors. I forget what. It was a place on Queens Boulevard in New York. And I drank 20 martinis and danced all night. And the bartender kissed my hand when I left because he kept count. And I bragged about that story for years. So I'm somebody who has had a love affair with altered states of mind my entire life until I had to get healthy. When I was told that I was dying, then it was all bets are off. Nothing is more important than getting healthy. And I lived completely sober for a decade and I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's nice when you can reach that point of happiness and joy and peace and calm naturally without the use of a substance. You know, they say that addiction is the inability to live in the now, that you cannot feel peace and calm naturally. And that has a lot to do with the ratio of calcium and magnesium. So biochemically, you know, there's some physical reasoning for that. But you've got to get to the point where you can relax your nervous system. See, the nervous system is supposed to be in a state of resting and digesting. That's the optimal state for the body to be in. And so when you're pushing and driving those adrenals, you know, too hard, 24/7 potentially, then that's what's going to, you know, throw off your mineral balance. And minerals, of course, are your spark plugs. So if your minerals are out of balance, then things like thyroid, adrenal, blood sugar,
heart, neurotransmitters,
things aren't going to work properly.
Your heart isn't going to work properly?
You've got it.
So, Pam... So let's say somebody says to themselves, okay, I want to take a vacation from alcohol for a while. I'm not going to stop drinking forever. I'm just going to stop drinking for now. What can I do as a person to help speed the process of detoxifying my body, getting the remnants of how alcohol has changed my body to go back to normal? Is it just a matter of abstaining from alcohol, or are there things that I can add in to help the methylation process and so on?
Well, I mean, it's going to depend. I don't want people to swallow a lot of supplements if, you know, I mean, I put people on very targeted supplements to deal with cravings. If people are going to try to do this on their own, it's a little tricky, but one of the primary things you must do is increase your consumption of animal fat. That's what I see almost instantly start to work to stabilize people, is when they start increasing their consumption of animal fat. So they're having bacon and egg style breakfasts. They're having meat and potato style lunch and dinners, and of course, by potato, it can be, you know, cooked cauliflower, it can be cooked broccoli, I'm just saying that figuratively.
Right.
But of course, in these cooked vegetables, of course, you'd be loading on lots of butter or sour cream or whatever, so you're going to get extra fat that way. So you must increase your consumption of animal fat. But then what happens, of course, when people start increasing their animal fat, if they've damaged their digestion, then there may be trouble digesting the animal fat, and that's where they need some assistance in many cases. So they may need some ox bile. They may need to do things like coffee enemas. They may need to clear out the gallstones by doing a liver and gallbladder flush. And so all sorts of things may need to be addressed in order to jumpstart the digestive system. They may need to take things like hydrochloric acid in order to help the acidity of the stomach so that they can actually break down the protein into the amino acids so that they will fuel the brain, and so on. So there's a lot of mechanisms that need to be turned back on again in order to allow the body to absorb these wonderful nutrients that will indeed stabilize the nervous system.
Well, will the gut ever get back to normal, or are they going to need that kind of support indefinitely then?
Oh, I start working with people who have terrible digestive problems, and I can see them eventually tolerate the fats. Most people, it's a mild problem, and they can usually start off by eating animal fat. There's a few people I work with who start off with very severe gallbladder problems. They do have to, unfortunately, mind the amount of animal fat they're eating, which is a paradox in a sense, because we're trying to regulate blood sugar and heal the adrenal glands, and the best food to do that, of course, is animal fat. So tragically, if people have had that much damage done to their digestive systems and they can't handle animal fat, it's they have to get very aggressive with taking digestive aids in order to basically jumpstart bile production.
You know, it's so funny. It's so funny. Wait, hold that. Not only that, I'm sorry, but I'm so excited that you're saying this. Since I've stopped, I've given up alcohol for about the past 3 weeks now, and I was at the point where I was, you know, drinking alcohol 4, 5, 6, 7 times a week, evenings a week, in the form of wine. But since I've given it up, I crave cream. I've been drinking raw, unpasteurized cream. Some days I've drank as much as a half gallon in a single day. I crave cream. I've said it to Elisa. I wake up in the morning sometimes thinking about drinking cream. So my body is telling me I want that fat. Isn't that something?
No, I think that, and as long as you're digesting it, you probably haven't done that much damage to your gallbladder.
Well, I got to be honest with you. The day that I drank the half gallon, I couldn't eat anything for the rest of the day. It didn't get out of my stomach that quickly.
So you need to do other things, like make sure you're eating raw sauerkraut, eating pickles, using the fermented dairy forms like kefir and yogurt. Because what ends up happening is when we're sick, right, then the digestive system moves to a more alkaline state. I'm not saying it becomes alkaline, I'm just saying it moves to a more alkaline state. So you have to retrain the gut in its entirety to become more acidic. And to do that, you have to force it sometimes by eating things like raw sauerkraut, pickles, apple cider vinegar, kefir and yogurt, all of these wonderful foods to start retraining that gut. And that is necessary simply because of another issue, and that has to do with just the stomach alone is supposed to be as acidic as battery acid, right?
Right.
And when that starts moving towards a more alkaline state, the chyme or the stomach contents as it empties out isn't acidic enough to trigger the bile from releasing properly, you see. So you have a mechanical breakdown going on essentially between the stomach and the gallbladder. And that, most people don't know that. And even if, you know, people are learning this, they really have it's a tricky thing to fix. And that's one of the main things I work on when I do one-on-one work with people, is I have to systematically repair that mechanism and really encourage people, because it's very uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable when you're starting to resuscitate the gallbladder. It can cause a lot of aches, a lot of pain, a lot of gas, a lot of bloating.
Well, I do. I do notice bloating when I have a bolus fat meal. If I one morning I drank a quart of cream and then I had five eggs and bacon, and I made the eggs in the bacon fat, and I could not eat again for about 6 hours because it just stayed in my stomach that long. But it did finally go through. But you're so on the money with this, because that's how I feel now that I've done this damage to my stomach through alcohol consumption and my pancreas,
right?
Obviously,
right? And it still has to do with copper, because of pushing up the estrogen, the copper is going to go up, so zinc is going to go down, right? And so what that means is you're not going to have bioavailable zinc in order to produce the hydrochloric acid. And you can't just take zinc to solve the problem, because if you take zinc, you're going to cause a domino effect and throw off other minerals as you do that. So it's very, very tricky to fix that problem, Carl. But I can tell you simplistically, you've got to start forcing that acidity back by eating the foods that I just mentioned.
I have a bottle of Bragg's apple cider vinegar in the fridge here at the Supreme Radio studio. I'm going to go take a tablespoon of it during the next break. How's that sound?
Yeah, take it before you eat. Take some apple cider vinegar before you eat. That's a wonderful remedy. And sip on lemon water over the course of the day as well.
Is lime as effective as lemon, or is lemon better than lime?
I don't know. I enjoy both, actually.
Okay, because I have limes in the refrigerator here, too, so I'm going to do that.
I'll go for it.
Okay.
They're delicious.
Listen, Pam, it's always fantastic to have you on the air with me. Number one, because you are the author of Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic, which is available at Amazon.com, and is a great book, and it is a book about nutrition. Don't misunderstand the title of this book as being something only for those who abuse alcohol or drugs and so on. The addictive quality of food is addressed in this. It's very, very important, especially in today's obesity epidemic. The other reason I love to have you on is because you are a regular radio personality in Canada. Talk about the radio show real quick before we break.
Wait, I'm on a couple of radio shows under Astral Media, one in London, Ontario, the other in St. Catharines, Ontario. I'm on with Andy Udman here in London, Ontario, and I bring on a lot of guests to help reinforce the notion of eating traditional foods, and that, you know, to reassure people that animal fat never joined the dark side. And the same thing with the host in St. Catharines, Tom McConnell. Absolutely wonderful hosts. I don't think any regular mainstream radio show hosts are letting this information out. I'm very, very fortunate to have the venue with these two stations here in Canada. I can't tell you how fortunate I am.
That's great.
And I also have some good news. I'm going to be speaking at the Weston A. Price Conference in Santa Clara, California, the weekend of November 9th. So I'm going to be presenting my a very short version of my class, which is called How to Fix a Broken Brain.
Fantastic. That is so awesome. I love Weston A. Price Foundation. They're fantastic people. Sally Fallon over there is doing a great job. Listen, Pam, so great to have you on.
Thanks so much for having me on, Carl. Keep up the great work.
All right, talk to you soon.
Take care.
All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we'll have Adele Musa all the way from Munster, Germany. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We shall return. I don't the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Want hardcore legal gear? Check out MrSups.com. MrSups.com carries only the best pro hormones, raw powders, and post-cycle products around. MrSups.com can deliver the goods, and no one beats MrSups.com on hardcore, barely legal pro hormones, because MrSups.com is the source. You get wholesale prices by cutting out the middleman. Don't waste your hard-earned money. Go to MrSups.com today and compare for yourself. You won't be disappointed. MrSups.com. That's MrSups.com. Cutting-edge products at wholesale prices.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the product you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay, so Pam did a great job talking about alcohol and the clients she works with, the experiences she's had, and cited some of the information that she has that is scientifically based. And now we're going to have Adele Moussa, author of Subversity.com, the single best blog on the internet. In fact, by the way, I just happened to be over there looking at this today's blog post, Eccentric Exercise, IGF-1, an athlete's heart, long and short intervals, both improve arterial stiffness, plus exercise heals wounds and makes you rust-proof within 1 year. What an amazing blog post this is. I read through it. I am just so, you know what, Adele? You must have clones that work around the clock to produce this quality of work. Is that true? You have clones?
No, but that's just the alcohol I consume on a regular basis, but only in moderate doses.
No,
I'm kidding.
Okay,
I think if I did that, I wouldn't be able to put out that much content on a daily basis. No.
No, you would be able to put out content, but it would just not have any make any sense. That's all. Like what I do here on the air. But okay, so let's talk about. Let's pick up where we left off. First of all, with Pam at the end of her interview, she was citing the changes in digestion as a result of alcohol. Is there any science out there that points to this as well?
Well, actually, there's early science on that back from the early back from 2003. But as of late, the gut microbiota has become a center of attention of scientific research. And accordingly, scientists have picked up on the early research, which was predominantly in real alcoholics. And in those subgroups, you will find real dysbiosis of the gut and even relatively moderate consumption of alcohol can lead to certain changes in the gut microbiome and, of course, and Pam also mentioned that already, due to its direct effect on the gut mucosa and due to its effect on the copper-zinc ratio, which with zinc being important for the epithelial cells in the gut, it also precipitates to a leaky gut. And the combination of changes in the gut microbiota and the incidence of leaky gut syndrome or a higher permeability of the gut increases the influx of those so-called endotoxins, which in turn will have an effect on the immune system and are implicated in all sorts of diseases and interestingly also in things like dementia, where we are currently still hearing that a moderate consumption of alcohol would be positive in terms of its effect on the brain and especially would even have preventive effects against dementia and Alzheimer's disease.
Okay, so in your research, you've looked at a lot of different science that points to alcohol being both pro and con for health. I want to start out with differentiation real quick in alcohol. Is there a difference in your opinion of the research? Is there a difference between wine and all other alcohols? Because wine drinkers always like to point at resveratrol and antioxidants and polyphenols as mitigating any of the potential downsides of alcohol, and somehow wine seems to have some magical health benefits that other alcohols don't. What's your opinion on that?
In fact, there is a tendency towards better outcomes with wine drinkers. And this is pretty interesting because from other research and even from directly related research of people who have been skeptic about that and wanted to find out if it's really the red wine or if it's in some confounding factors, we do know that wine drinkers have certain traits other people don't have. For example, they have a better social support net, they have a better education and are usually wealthier off, they have lower comorbidities. So you could say, of course, because they are drinking wine, but this is not necessarily the case, as wine consumption is correlated only with a few of those comorbidities. And they usually have a higher functional capacity, and they have a brighter outlook at life, you could say, and report, say of themselves, that they are in much better shape and in much better health. And if you think about how people drink wine and how people drink other types of alcohol, when you go out and party and you really drink to get drunk, you don't invest in an expensive wine. When you're having your glass of wine, you're taking time out from your daily life, from your work routine. You're really relieved in the evening, sitting maybe with your significant other, having a nice time, and all that alone will have beneficial effects on your health. And this is a factor I'm not aware of that it has been recognized in any of these studies, although more and more confounding factors are actually compensated with certain statistical means. And this brings up another issue, because we do actually have only a dozen or so of really large population studies that are used for all sorts of those epidemiological studies. And one of these groups is the so-called, or is labeled the so-called nurses' health study mm-hmm. population. Mm-hmm. And I think in the brief research I did before the show, I've come about at least five different studies investigating the effects of alcohol consumption and moderate alcohol consumption on health and different health markers. And there were always three studies with different outcomes. So they reported different risk ratios depending on the alcohol consumption. And this is partly due to the fact that we do not even have an established definition of what moderate alcohol consumption means. So some scientists say that a moderate alcohol consumption goes up to 10 grams of alcohol per day. Others just count the servings, and you never know if a person has a huge cup of a huge glass of wine or just a smaller glass of wine. Then some studies try to distinguish between red wine, where you have already mentioned that in red wine you have those polyphenols, and other alcohols. Few studies or few scientists, and I would believe even fewer people are aware, for example, that beer also contains a lot of healthy components, and in fact a substance that's very similar in its effect on the immune system, at least, as resveratrol is. And so all these different factors, they make it so complex that many of the, or you should actually say that almost all of the epidemiological studies have certain shortcomings. And one shortcoming that has been addressed in 2005, I believe, by a group of scientists that is not really related to the type of alcohol or the other factors I have already mentioned is that they usually do a cross-sectional analysis. And they ask people, are you consuming more than one drink of alcohol per day? And this will obviously include people who have been drinking way, way more alcohol in the past in the in the group of people who are now drinking no alcohol at all. A former alcoholic, for example, who is now dry, would be in the group of non-alcohol consumers, and he would obviously have a very high, very elevated increase in all sorts of disease risks.
Right.
And this scientist, or this group of scientists, actually took some of the beneficial studies and where the respective data was available, whether people were former alcohol consumers or not, and excluded those from the analysis, and all of a sudden the former significantly beneficial results turned into null results or into the negative. And all those factors are telling you that you will always have to be cautious about epidemiological studies in particular, and also have to really scrutinize the results you are given, because oftentimes you get statistically significant results with relatively low real-world meaning. And this is, for example, the case for high-density lipoprotein. If you have an increase from 1.16 to 1.18, as it was the case in one study that has recently been discussed on the website of the Life Extension Foundation.
Right.
This is maybe statistically significant because it was observed in almost all subjects, but this does not really mean that it is physiologically significant in terms of offering a great heart protective effect.
Well, and I want to do something. I want to take a break. You know, the number one thing that the wine industry tries to promote through funded research now is that moderate amounts of red wine actually are cardioprotective. I want to talk about direct research that looks at biological changes in the presence of alcohol for a moment, whether it be from wine or whatever, on the heart. We're talking this hour with Adele Moussa, author of Subversity.com, SUPPVERSITY.com. And he's applying the Subversity sniff test to the research out there about alcohol consumption. You're listening to Super Human Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chunk.
No
like
two
a
amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age Force Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow. I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest this hour is Adele Musso. We're talking about the science of alcohol. Okay, so Adele, alcohol consumption, cardioprotective, is it something that people should be using who are worried about heart problems?
Should be using, I would say no. And that's actually in line with the current scientific evidence and the current scientific advice as well. Because if you look at the meta-reviews, the bottom line, also in those reviews which say that from epidemiological data we could conclude that there appears to be a favorable decrease in heart disease risk from one glass of wine, for example, per day. Even those authors usually conclude their reviews with a statement like it is still necessary to have more controlled studies or to get more detailed data. And in fact, this is actually one of the main problems I've already addressed before is that you are doing those studies at a certain time point and asking people about the alcohol consumption, and the only thing you really have to judge the heart disease risk is, like you would say, everybody who's wearing a red T-shirt has a higher heart disease risk, and everybody who's wearing a green T-shirt has a low heart disease risk of developing heart disease. And then you're conducting a study and correlating the color of your T-shirt and your wine consumption. Only in those studies, the color of the T-shirt is the old lipoprotein lipase theory.
Right.
That is the cholesterol theory of heart disease. So in most of those trials, the touted decrease in cardiovascular disease risk is based on measurements of increases or decreases in HDL, respectively LDL.
Exactly. And this is my frustration with that research, because you have to first subscribe to the cholesterol myth and agree with cholesterol being as the indicative factor for heart disease, and then say, oh, well, alcohol affects these levels, so therefore alcohol has a cardioprotective effect. But if you don't agree with the cholesterol myth, which most of us know is untrue, then you can't believe that cholesterol is cardioprotective. I mean, that alcohol is cardioprotective.
Yeah.
But speak to something else. I remember reading a study just several months ago that linked changes in the mitochondrial function of the heart fibers in the presence of alcohol. And the way they described it, and I'm not as articulate as you are probably about it, but apparently there are these these tendrils that come out of the mitochondria, the nucleus of the mitochondria, that attach to different things in the cell, and alcohol shortens them and brings calcium closer until the calcium kind of impedes the mitochondria and makes it dysfunctional. Is that not the case when you drink alcohol? Doesn't it change the mitochondrial function of the heart?
Well, in fact, this is one of the explanations some researchers have brought forward for the beneficial effect, because it is in a way training your heart. If you are exposing yourself to a very low dose of alcohol, you will get this calcium influx into the cell, which is damaging or highly damaging if it's exuberant, as sort of a training effect for the mitochondria.
So training like what? Through like a hormetic effect, in other words? Like by putting additional stress on the mitochondria, it's going to get better functioning?
Yeah, exactly. It's already expressing protective enzymes and has the better ability to adapt to future stresses. That's basically the hypothesis that's also brought forward for brain cells, interestingly. And there's some recent research which may sound somewhat confusing at first, but this is actually done on cells as well, so it's not something you would see in an epidemiological trial that says that the AMPK enzyme, which is also expressed in response to exercise, and is actually sort of the cleaning machine of the cells, that this is downregulated to a certain degree in chronic low alcohol exposure. On the other hand, the AKT pathway, the protein kinase pathway, which is antagonist, that is the one who's building structures up, is upregulated. And this is pretty interesting, because on the one hand, of course, this will help, prevent your body from doing the harmful breakdown to its own cells, because the breakdown processes are stopped. On the other hand, this could actually also be one of the mechanisms that is behind the increased cancer risk that has been described for even low doses of alcohol by other researchers. But let me first get back to the cardiovascular heart
yes.
to the heart disease risk, because there are tons, but one of the examples which are telling you that the wisdom we are, or we believe we derive from the epidemiological data is not really conclusive, is comes from evidence from China, where they have seen that both the chronic consumption of low to moderate amounts of alcohol, as well as the occasional use of larger amounts of alcohol, is protective. Now, if this is correct, then the assumption or the assumed mechanism by which chronic, and I must repeat that, if you don't drink your glass of wine every day, you are not having the benefits. This is the actual hypothesis, that this must be flawed, because if it was correct, then we would have to see the exact opposite in those Chinese who only drink large amounts in irregular intervals. So this is one of the many discrepancies that still exist, and which are actually also the cause why scientists, as I've pointed out before, were doing reviews that are in general favorable in terms of should you or shouldn't you consume your daily glass of wine. Usually say that this is still not a settled thing, and we would be ill-advised to tell people to go out and grab a bottle of wine to make sure they get their daily glass of wine.
You know, for me, the process of decision making is much simpler. Again, I've said it so many times during the show. I'm not proposing that people not drink. I'm not proposing that people abstain from alcohol and its drug-like effects. They're enjoyable. But don't lie to yourself and then try to say, and it's healthy. If it's healthy, give it to your children. Give it to your dog. Give it to your cat. Give it to all those things that you care and love, because if it's good for you, it'll be good for them too. Of course, this is an absurdity. This is rhetoric here, because you're not going to give it to your children. And in fact, the government won't let you, because they know that it'll harm your children. So, you know, when the Titanic was sinking, they said women and children first. Well, the women had to go because they took care of the kids. Children went first, really, and women went with them vicariously. We protect children, and we say these things are no good for children. But then we say, but they're okay for us. And you need to start seeing through that hypocrisy. That's BS. If it's no good for your kids, it's no good for you. Period. End of story. Now, Adele, we're going to have to take a break here, but I want to ask you this question. And I kind of imposed this question at the beginning of the show. And that is this. If alcohol is healthy for you, then one would surmise that living a life devoid of alcohol would actually be unhealthy. Do you think that this is true from the research that you've read so far?
That's a good question. I think you could say that the research that is out there, especially the research on very long-lived people, centennials, for example, says that most of them are either habitual drinkers who drink their one glass of wine, or at least occasional drinkers. And I think this goes back to what I've said before, that the consumption of this one glass of wine is sort of a daily ritual, which gives you a timeout. And I've talked about this, I think, even before on the show, and I've mentioned it on my blog previous times, always when it comes to the consumption of tea and even to coffee, although this is no longer so much the case for coffee, because we are grabbing our coffee or as a coffee to go today. But if you're having a glass of tea, a cup of tea, in the classical tea ceremony in Japan, for example, or in the Asiatic region in general, then this is almost a spiritualistic timeout from your daily activities and from the daily stresses. And additionally, the effect alcohol has on you, that is, you're feeling happier. You can really get out of the daily strains and forget about them for some time. This is rather a psychological, in fact, it's a physio-psychological side effect of alcohol, but this psychological side can be actually healthy. It can help you to reduce your stress levels, and this is not a direct direct function of alcohol on your adrenal glands, as Pam has been pointing out, that alcohol is rather stressing on the adrenal glands, but it helps you to relax, and it helps you to take this time out, and therefore it is helping you, it is furthering your overall health. And this could also be part of the anti-inflammatory effect that is ascribed to alcohol ingestion and not just to wine. And if this is the case, then this can actually explain why most centennials are consume at least a small amount of alcohol, and why there is a general trend towards lower risk of heart disease in people who are following this this practice. But let me say this. If I don't drink alcohol at all, if I force myself to sit down in the evening and drink my glass of wine, I'm pretty sure this would not be healthy for me.
Right.
Because I wouldn't get my time out. It would really freak me out. And I wouldn't have fun with it.
Right.
And therefore, it wouldn't be good for me. So this alone is telling you that enforcing forcing a glass of wine in the evening on everyone is not a good idea.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Well, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up the discussion. We're talking this hour with Adel Moussa. His blog is Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
May not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30 gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER today. Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting TASciences.com. That's TASciences.com.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetic Cream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away. Not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6,
GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
I just want to remind everybody again, at the bottom right-hand side of superhumanradio.com, there is a tiny little postage stamp size map. It's actually right below the most listened to episodes. If you would please click that map, if you're using Google Chrome, you may have some trouble having it open, but if you could please click that map once and have it open completely so that a pin is placed on the map. This is actually the genius suggestion of Adele Musa quite some time ago. So we're planning on Superhuman Nation summits around the country and around the globe, actually. And we want to see where people are heavily concentrated so we can make good choices so that everybody can get together. So please click the map just once. That's all you need to do. You don't have to log in. You don't have to do anything else. Just click it one time, and that's it. I'd appreciate it. Okay, so Adele, there has been recent research pointing to some changes in DNA structure as the result of alcohol consumption. And this change actually seems to predispose the development of cancers. Does alcohol consumption affect cancer at all?
Well, the research that is specifically on cancer is astonishingly small, a lack of research in this area. The only cancer which is really extensively researched is breast cancer, and the current paradigm is quite conclusive that even moderate alcohol consumption increases breast cancer risk. And I think Pam has already hinted at the effects of alcohol on estrogen.
Yes.
And interestingly, this is also one of the favorite hypothesis to explain this increase in cancer risk is that alcohol increases estrogen and decreases progesterone. And progesterone usually is protective when estrogen is carcinogenic, at least in certain cancer lines. And this was one of the most popular, you could say, theories trying to explain the increased breast cancer risk among women, even those who consume their healthy one glass of wine per day. But there has just been published a study in September 2012 by Reeling and Ali that has shown that the 75% increase in breast cancer risk they observed in their study participants was independent of the estrogen status of this woman. So at least the estrogen is not the only factor that's important here. And this would also point towards increased cancer risk for other types of cancer. And there are other researchers who have observed actually epigenetic changes in the expression of epidermal growth factor. And this is cancer promotive. And I've already talked about AKT, protein kinase, which is also a growth promoter for all sorts of tissue, and of course also for cancer tissue.
Right.
And on the other hand, the downregulation of AMP kinase I've mentioned before would be anti-carcinogenic. It would help the body to get rid of the future cancer cell before it even can become cancerous. And so in this case, we do actually have pretty conclusive evidence that would support mechanistic explanations why there is an increased cancer risk from even relatively moderate amounts of alcohol and chronic exposure. And one of the most recent reviews I found, which is actually from August 2012, which is a meta review of many studies, estimated the death from different types of cancer. And they came to the conclusion that 5,000 people died from oropharyngeal cancer, 24,000 people from esophageal cancer, 5,000 from breast cancer, and that only in 2004, and only considering the evidence they had in their review. And they are talking here about light drinking, which they define as one glass of wine or one glass of alcoholic beverages per day or less.
You know, it's funny too. I don't know if you heard. I know you didn't hear the beginning of the show because you were probably still getting home from work. But you know, Pam said that alcohol consumption amongst middle-aged women and older is up threefold from what it used to be. So we have a lot more women who are already in this high risk for ovarian and breast cancer situations who are consuming more alcohol on top of it. And we know that these cancers are on the rise, but no one's making the connection between alcohol, in my opinion.
Well, in a way, this is funny because the officials have changed the definition of moderate alcohol consumption in 2010. And when it was before one drink per day for women or two drinks or less per day for men, not to be exceeded on any day, it is from 2010 on limit men to two drinks or less per day on average and four or fewer on any single day, and limit women to one drink or less per day on average and three or fewer on any single day. That is, all of a sudden, moderate consumption includes those chronic overloads on the weekend, for example,
yeah.
Which was not part of the equation before. And as I've mentioned before, there's absolutely no evidence that these irregular patterns of alcohol consumption are conducive to your health.
Now, many of us were conceived as a result of alcohol consumption. I would venture to say that a large number of babies are conceived when their mother and father are three sheets into the wind, after a party, New Year's Eve, or a get-together, or maybe just a romantic dinner, and then back home. And quite often, the alcohol consumption continues maybe the next weekend or during the week and the following week and so on until the mother goes, I'm late on my period, and realizes she's pregnant. We know that long-term alcohol use during the development of a fetus has some damaging effects. What about the research on women who are drinking during the period of time that they're getting pregnant? Any information we should know about there?
Well, maybe we could first hook up to the breast cancer risk, because there is a very interesting study from Stevens from the year 2005 who found that alcohol during pregnancy decreases the testosterone levels in women by 12 to 25%. Now, this sounds like it wasn't significant, but interestingly, this decrease in testosterone has been linked to an increase in breast tissue density in the female offspring. And this increase in breast tissue density, in turn, increases your risk of developing breast cancer. So, in a way, it must not even be your alcohol consumption as a woman which increases your risk of breast cancer. It would, of course, then double it, maybe. But even if only your mother drank very tiny amounts of alcohol during her pregnancy, and maybe even only during the first trimester, for example, even the first week, so this could already precipitate you as a woman to develop breast cancer later in life. And interestingly, in males, it has a different effect. In males, it is associated with the disruption in cortisol activity. That is, it's obviously damaging to the adrenal glands, and even small amounts are damaging to the adrenal glands. And it is supposed to be the same or at least a related mechanism. And you can't even be sure that you are even conceiving, delivering the baby, because there has been another interesting study that's coming from Denmark, and that's another of those large cohort studies which actually comprises more than 90,000 participants. It's the Danish National Birth Cohort, and we are currently seeing the data is available about 2 years ago, or was first available about 2 years ago. Now we are seeing the first real detailed results from data analysis of the study. There have been other studies in other areas, but this one is on fetal death in the first trimester or in weeks 13 to 16. And what they found is that even lower amounts than what is currently considered as moderate drinking, that is 2 to 3.5 drinks per week, increase the risk of fetal death in the baby you are carrying in your womb by 66%. And if you're drinking four or more drinks per week, that is not even one drink per day, but less than one drink per day, you are increasing the risk to lose your child in the first three trimesters by more than 182%. And I think these are figures most women will not be aware of, because you usually think about those really teratogenic effects of alcohol intake, that you that your baby will be crippled or have cognitive deficits or stuff like that.
Right.
And those usually occur with high doses of alcohol. But the risk to lose the baby in the first trimesters can be more than doubled when you're drinking your daily glass of wine or continuing to drink your healthy daily glass of wine. So pregnant women are one of the groups where I would really say drink no alcohol at all, regardless of which occasion it may be, because even if it's just a 1% risk increase of losing the baby, that's not really worth it.
Well, but there's something else here that needs to be pointed out. The body aborts a baby in times where the body interprets the environment as being so hazardous that it's not prudent to bring a baby into the environment. The body aborts the baby. The body reduces a woman's ability to give birth in times of famine. The body knows what it's doing. The body is perfect. The body aborts the fetus when there's moderate amounts of alcohol consumption because the body is being poisoned. And the body knows we can't make a baby in this environment, at least not a healthy baby. We need to get rid of it. This is the wrong environment. Think about that. When you're reading a study that says moderate amounts of alcohol are healthy for you, think about that, that your body will try to get rid of a fetus in the presence of moderate amounts of alcohol.
In this context, it's maybe also interesting that in 1995, maybe things have changed since then. But in this year, scientists did a study where they investigated the relationship between mothers-to-be and their doctors, and they found astonishingly that only 20% of the heavy drinkers were advised by their doctors to reduce alcohol consumption, and this compared to 70% of the heavy smokers who were advised to cease alcohol consumption. And when you compare the results heavy smoking and heavy alcohol drinking has on your baby, I wouldn't be sure that that heavy alcohol consumption is not much worse than heavy smoking.
Yeah, no, I agree. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap it up. We're talking with Adele Musa about alcohol consumption. I hope those of you who are listening to the show are making some decisions on your own. Great blog to read. Subversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. Stay tuned, we'll be right back. Worldwide critics acclaim my big news. Showtime main event, you can't leave me. Dizzy Ross, my underneath, you can't lose. Eastside, bro, I make the paper rise. Never been anything like you say, car glass. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating. But you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire
entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, there's one more thing we have to discuss before we do a summary, okay? There's a lot of people out there who are saying that alcohol consumption actually increases insulin sensitivity and is actually beneficial for blood sugar management. Was there any research on that, Adele? That's a big one for me.
Mostly this is also epidemiological research, and this is totally skewed towards the consumption of red wine, and therefore it's possible that the polyphenols actually figure large here. On the other hand, you often find statements, and actually the Lev article I mentioned before does that as well, where they are trying to tell people that the major difference between the French diet and the American diet would be the consumption of red wine. And this is absolutely hilarious. Everybody who has just been once to France will know that not the liquid diet part of the diet, but the actual food in the diet is totally different. So most of this research in terms of favorable effects on insulin sensitivity actually comes from the Mediterranean. And in the Mediterranean, it's just normal for everyone who is able to afford that to have a glass of wine in the evening. So it's highly questionable how reliable those results are.
What about my supposition? Lisa brought this up on Casual Friday. And I said, well, the Europeans also walk an average of 140 miles a year more than we do. Why isn't anyone saying anything about that? Why are they just going right to the wine? Or let's go even further. The French eat horse meat. We don't eat that here. Maybe it's the horse meat that makes them healthier.
Yeah, and the French eat tons of fatty cheese, and they eat a different type of white bread because your strange toast, what you call white bread, is very different from a real French baguette. So there are tons of differences which can explain those, and it's really, even if scientists do their really best to compensate for those confounding factors, it's just not possible to include them all. And therefore, I think this is highly questionable also because the really controlled trials show the exact opposite. So we have on the one hand the cross-sectional epidemiological trials, which show positive influences on insulin sensitivity. And then we have a dozen of really controlled trials, and most of them have been conducted in patients with diabetes or existing diabetes. Or they have compared, in rodents, for example, there are a couple of studies comparing low or moderate dose alcohol to high dose alcohol without a control group. And often those studies are then cited in summaries in favor of low-dose alcohol consumption where there was no control group, where the rodents didn't even get alcohol.
See, and that's my problem with all of this. Even the mention of centenarians who seem to drink every day. Here's my problem. I had a discussion with my niece not too long ago in reference to this. And she pointed to her mother-in-law, who is the picture of health. She has aged so wonderfully. She looks great. And she drinks alcohol. And I said to my niece, I said, look, every now and then you find a person who smoked for 50 years and didn't develop cancer. That doesn't negate the millions of people that died of a cancer related to their cigarette smoke because one person did well with their outcome. In fact, that person may have done better had they not smoked or drank. And so while we have these centenarians who admit, say, well, I have a glass of wine every day, there's tens of thousands of people who die at 60, 70, and 80 who had that same practice. Why didn't they get to 100 if the wine was the magic? It's not. Alcohol is no magic.
Those centenarians happen to come from France mostly, or from other regions in Europe, where this glass of wine is actually part of the evening ritual. And, for example, in France, you usually don't have a real breakfast, and they are grasping the benefits of intermittent fasting almost every day. And in Italy, for example, as well, you have a cup of coffee or you have
a piece of bread, right?
Or maybe a little what's it called? A little mini cookie to the cup of
a biscotti. You have a biscotti and a cup of coffee, exactly.
Yeah, and this is the same for people always wondering how they can stay lean when they are eating so much in the evening. Well, if you haven't eaten in the day before, you need somewhere you get to get your calories in somewhere, so you have to eat in the evening. And there's actually a very recent experimental study which was done in pigs, and we've talked about that on last Thursday's show, that pigs are actually a very good model for humans. And in this study, they did not only test alcohol or did not only test wine, but they actually compared vodka and wine, and also gave the pigs just a isocaloric glucose in load, because of course alcohol does also have calories in it. And what they found was that this moderate alcohol consumption in a swine model of metabolic syndrome worsens the glucose metabolism by altering activation of the insulin signaling pathway in the liver and skeletal muscle. So this was the case for both, for vodka and wine. So the small amounts of resveratrol in wine are not necessarily protective. If they are added to otherwise exactly equal conditions, and as I've pointed out before, those are not equal for the centenarian living in the Mediterranean. And obviously, or very intriguingly, one of the even more common denominators of all those centenarians is that they are very poor eaters.
Okay.
And not necessarily in terms of really not eating at all or of starving themselves, but almost all of them have an eating pattern of just eating until they're full, and in at least in our modern terms, what fills them up is way too little for the oversized, supersized XXL menu generation. So this gives you a leeway because, as I've mentioned before, the AMP kinase, for example, which is downregulated due to alcohol consumption, will go up whenever you fast. So you have the AMPK get to its right. In this turn, it could even be beneficial for you if you ramp up the other side by some alcohol from time to time.
Right, right. Interesting. Okay, so in summary, how do you weigh in on alcohol? I know that you're not a proponent of abstinence. You don't recommend that people try, not drink because they have to be social and so on. But how do you weigh in on alcohol? Is it healthier to drink alcohol than not to drink alcohol, in your humble opinion?
In my personal opinion, it's not, no. And if you look at the science, the only thing where we have where you could say that it's scientifically verifiable that drinking alcohol could be beneficial is cardiovascular disease. And I've mentioned that before. that is judged in almost all of the studies, especially the older ones, solely by the lipoprotein lipase profile. And this is not very reliable, and those are also epidemiological studies with all those confounding factors, often not adequately compensated or not compensated at all. So I personally would not rely on that, and even if you do, if this has the downside of an increased cancer risk, what's it worth? You may not die from heart attack, but you could die from cancer. And just taking the chance and relying on the possibility that it could be healthy for you, this would not be a reason for me to start drinking alcohol. On the other hand, I've already mentioned that if you are one of those persons who fares pretty well with his alcohol consumption or her alcohol consumption up to now, and is making it a ritual of drinking his one glass of wine and could not imagine to be able to relax without this one glass of wine in the evening, could not calm down, could not stay calm, could not have a good night of sleep, then first of all, try if it's not maybe possible without alcohol. And if it's not, if you think it's worth it, choose your poison. Drink your glass of wine. And I'm actually confident if you can't replace that and if you can't live without it, it's probably even healthier for you to go with your one glass of wine, as long as you don't escalate that in the evening, than trying to force you not to drink alcohol.
Right. I say, I know people are going to probably pull their hair out when I say this. I say smoke a little weed. You know what? At least pot doesn't destroy your liver and your kidneys, okay? But here's how I weigh in on the whole alcohol thing. I'm not going to give up alcohol for the rest of my life. There's no doubt about it, because I enjoy its drug-like effects. I like the way it makes me feel. If I go out to a party and I have a glass of wine or two glasses of wine, I become, at least I think, I become wittier, funnier, and more handsome. But in reality, I'm not going to lie to myself and say, and it's healthy for me, because it's not. It's really not.
Yeah, you need to be aware of the benefits and the downsides, not just ignore the downsides. And in fact, as I've said, for many people, maybe the benefits are really worth it. And they may even be objectively worth it. That is, they could even objectively have health benefits from it.
Okay. So I think we've covered this subject pretty well. And if we missed anything, we're sorry. I want to thank Pam Colleen, author of Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic. It's a great book. You can get it at Amazon.com. Of course, I want to thank Adele Musa, who will be back on Thursday during the 1 o'clock hour when we do our Subversity sniff test. Do not miss a single entry of his blog. You will be smarter, and you'll amaze your friends by your knowledge by going to Subversity, SUPPVERSITY.com. Adele, thanks so much for being on the show today.
It was a pleasure.
Okay, tomorrow we have, during the first hour, the Blueprint Power Hour, and the second hour, Dr. Jared Scarron's going to come on. It's flu season. We're going to talk about vaccines. Vaccines are back in the news. You're not going to want to miss that. We'll see you tomorrow. You know you can listen to Superhuman Radio while mobile? That's right. Go to the iPhone store and download the free Shoutcast app and then search for the Superhuman channel.
This is the Superhuman channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.